Thank you very much to the Hedrick family. I'm pleased to introduce Brother Bob as our speaker this evening and ask that you might give very careful attention to him and that you might remember him in your private prayers. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Uncle Johnny. Good evening. I have a few thoughts I'd like to bring to you tonight. Anybody read the paper today? No? I know nobody in my family did because I grabbed it before they could. There was an article in the paper today, and it kind of got me to thinking. And so I was going to bring it to you tonight. It says, "Are you a Christian?" Huh. It must be either Christmas or Easter, right? Because that's what happens every time Christmas or Easter comes is, well, for one thing, more people come to church than at other times. And the other thing is that news magazines and PBS will do something special about Christ or, or the paper will have an article like, "Are you a Christian?" It says, Christians identify what that label signifies to them. So, my question is, are you a Christian? Hopefully, yes. Okay, now, Sunday night, I'm at church. It's pretty good signs. What does that mean? Okay, hopefully. What does it mean when you got somebody that says, "I'm a Christian"? What do you mean by that? Follower of Christ. Okay. Anybody else? Commitment. I like it. Cool, because you know what? Like I said, if anybody read it, there were some interesting points of view from, because they asked a bunch of local ministers about what it means, what the word Christian means. See now, one of them says, "It's not a matter of what I do, but what I believe." Huh. There are good Christians and not so good Christians. And just like I embarrass my parents sometimes, there are times we do not live up to what we should be as Christians, but we're still children of God. Interesting. There was another one on the inside. I would say I'm a follower of Christ. In Him, love replaces hate, joy replaces unhappiness, peace replaces a troubled heart. So following Him, it's not so much as I have to, but I want to. What do you think of that? Exactly, it's incomplete. It's like what we usually find in a lot of articles. There's a lot of articles about, you know, usually the articles that come in two sides. One of them presents all the sugary candy things about Christ. The other one tries to prove Him as being false or not true, and you're a hick and a redneck and all these different things if you actually believe what those crazy scriptures say, because they're unreliable. And so that's what I'd like to really, I mean, true, the word Christian means Christ-like. And hopefully we are followers of Jesus, but what does that mean? And so I'd like to really kind of delve into that, what that meaning of that term is. I want to start in Matthew in the 16th chapter. And Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start with the 21st verse, and this is as Christ is getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. He's preparing his disciples for what it's going to experience. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now there's a sermon there in itself, but he's laying that groundwork. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he's saying, hey, this is what we're going to do here. I'm going to go, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed. And, you know, they had a hard time comprehending exactly what he was talking about. But continuing on there, he says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, and if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I think in that those last couple of verses are that those fundamental things that we can build on to get a deeper understanding of what it means to be Christian, what it means to be Christ-like, and it comes from Christ Himself that He's saying, you know, come out, you know, He's always saying, come unto me, and this is what He's saying. If He's going to come unto me, this is what He's going to do, and there's three things that are lined out there, and. And that's the things I want to talk about this evening. In the 24th verse, those three things are to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself. Let's just start there. You know, well, what are we supposed to deny? What does it mean by that, to deny ourselves? What does that mean to you? Your own will? Good. What else? Okay. At least that deny that. I mean, we can't deny that we commit the sins if that's what you're talking about. We have to resist those sins or trying to say no to them. Yeah. Anybody else got any thoughts? Well, I got a few. That's why I'm up here, I guess. Denying ourselves. Basically, it's our own interests. Our own self-interest. That's what we're denying. And so let's look at those things. Well, what are our own self-interests? Well, there's a lot of things that could be considered self-interest. Let's just start, first of all, in Mark. Chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and I'll start with the 17th verse. And once again, this is a very familiar story. That's the thing about preaching on Sunday evening. All the stories you've all heard before. Right? When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. So things come, take up the cross, and follow him. And here he gave an example of what exactly those things he was asking him to do when he was talking about denying himself. Unfortunately, this young man was, continuing on, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. you know, one of those things we have to deny ourselves is our possessions. And not to say that possessions are in and of themselves bad. Possessions, you know, to have possessions is not the issue. It's when the possessions own you. It's the priorities. We all have stuff. We often, you know, collect stuff. And then we have rooms where we have to put stuff in. And then our stuff is we have to build bigger barns to house more stuff. But sometimes our stuff becomes our God. And we start, you know, there was a quote, I can't remember who it was from, but talking about who builds a nice, fine house now has a master, because he's going to spend the rest of his life trying to keep that nice, fine house a nice, fine house. Constant work to upkeep it. He becomes a servant of that house. And that's what we come. Sometimes our possessions can become our master when we have to take care of more stuff instead of having the priority that God's first. I don't have to have all that stuff that I've collected over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. And I'm willing to trade whatever I have for eternal life. And that was the struggle this young man had, because he trusted in it. He had his wealth, and so he felt secure, and so he wanted to do more because he didn't have to worry about, you know, about his own personal needs. They were going to be taken care of because he had plenty of wealth. And so he wanted to go do something. And God's saying, you got your priorities wrong. You know, don't worry about those things. Put God first. And the other things will take care of themselves. That's one of the things, one of our own self-interests, our own ability to provide for ourselves. Not that we shouldn't endeavor to do so, that's not what I'm saying. But when our stuff becomes more important than people, or when our stuff becomes more important than God, that's when we have the issue. It's our priorities. It's where God is on that list of things in our life. I want to turn over to Luke and another familiar story to illustrate another thing that I believe that we have to deny ourselves. Luke chapter 14. I will start with the 25th verse. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto him, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, I think we have an understanding that word there, it hate, that's been translated as hate, doesn't mean that we despise, but we love less than God. Even than our own families, our own parents, our spouse, our children. That can be a hard thing for a lot of people. You know, I know that there are many who have heard the gospel of the Church of Christ, but are a member of a particular religion that's very has very tight family units. And that has been the hindrance to them making that commitment. Because, you know, I remember Jose down in Phoenix, before he was converted, you know, he was Catholic because he was Mexican. Because that, if to turn his back on that was turning his back on his family, on everything he knew. And that's exactly what God is asking us to do here. We're talking about denying ourselves. We deny our we have to deny people. There cannot be someone who is greater than God. There cannot be someone whose opinions we value greater than God's. There cannot be someone whose desires we are more interested in fulfilling than God's. You know, I look at our children as they grow and mature, and you know, they're gonna get old enough and decide that they want to get married, and that person that they are looking to marry can't be more important than God, even though it's a spouse. And that's hard. But that's part of denying ourself, denying our own self-interests and our own desires. It's like the rich young ruler. It was about priorities. It wasn't the stuff. It's the priorities. And it's the same thing with our relationships with people. The relationships aren't the bad thing. They're not bad. It's the priority. It's that God is first. That's what being a Christian is about, and that's one of those things that we are, I believe that we're commanded to deny ourselves. Our own self-interest, what we think is best. And letting God be first and the ruler of our lives. I want to turn over to the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi chapter 2. Once again, another familiar story. This is going to be on page 21. It's Lehi's vision. And we all know the whole story. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Lehi's vision. There's truly a great number of things within that are powerful and useful in our spiritual walk. But the one thing I want to bring out is starting in the 68th verse of this chapter. And it says, "And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward. And they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mists of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about, as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about, and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female, and their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking, and pointing their fingers towards those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted the fruit, they were ashamed, because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost." You know, we have our own struggles inside us. And that's one of those things, is that becoming a Christian is not always the popular thing. And we have to deny ourselves that pride in our own self to do something that, you know, would be embarrassing. I think it was Paul who said he was a fool for Christ. That he was willing to be out there and be different. His embarrassment or his what others thought was not the most important thing. He denied himself his own feelings. And that's what we have to do as well, and be willing to do the thing that may not be the popular thing. Be it our dress, be it our social activities, the things we watch, the things we listen to, all those things, is being able to be different and being okay with that. Something else I believe that we have to deny ourselves is found in Matthew, in the 26th chapter. And I'll start with the 36th verse, and this is Christ in the garden in Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Twice, Jesus Christ approached his heavenly Father asking that he not have to go through that trial that he was going to go through. But twice, he denied his own will and said, Not my will, but thy will be done. That's one of those huge things that about denying ourselves, denying our own will. Our own will is a powerful thing. It runs our days. Because truly, what do we do during the day? Pretty much what we want. Yeah, I have to go to work, but I do that because I want to get paid. So, I see the reason behind it. So, I hope you understand. That's truly we live in a land of freedom. We don't have slaves. We're not slaves to be driven. We have that free will that God's given us, and we have that the ability to exercise it greatly in this country. But God's asking for that one thing, our will. You know, those other things in our lives all revolve, they come down to that point of what we're willing to give up. And that's what our want. But I want, but I think, and it doesn't matter. If we deny ourselves and say, Lord, what you want or what you think. You know, back to Matthew in the 16th chapter, there were three things in that list. And it wasn't just denying ourselves, but there was also taking up our cross. Cross is a burden. You know, and I think about that sometimes, is that sometimes this life can be a burden. It can be hard. It can be heavy. You know, that's one of those things that some of the other ministers of other beliefs, I guess, for lack of a different word, but they don't like to focus on that. But it's truly, it's hard. But we have those promises that it's not going to be too hard, that He will help us. Because right there in Matthew, He says, it's yours. Take up your cross. I can't carry yours, and you can't carry mine. Christ is carrying the bulk of the weight, but He's asking us to do our part. I want to turn over to Mosiah in the first chapter. A big part of what this cross is. Page 218, the first chapter of Mosiah, and the 119th verse. Something I'm sure we're all familiar with. It says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever." That's our burden. That's the cross we're bearing. We're locked in a lifelong struggle, a lifelong battle against our own carnal ways, those sinful tendencies we have within our own lives. And it's a constant battle. And that is our burden, and that is our cross. I can't fight your battles, and you can't fight mine. But we're not fighting them alone, because we have Christ with us. Because I want to keep going on there, because that phrase doesn't end with a period. It says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if, unless he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." That's what Christ did in the garden. He was willing to submit. He was willing to do whatever God asked him to do. And we have the ability through his atonement, through his sacrifice, to do that too. But it's that constant battle that we're always going to be fighting, that natural man. That sin which dwells within us. That is one of the things that make up our cross that we have to bear. I also want to turn over into John in the 15th chapter. John in the 15th chapter, and I'll start with the 18th verse. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. You know, some of the burden we're going to carry is we're going to be persecuted. There's going to be a hostility from time to time. We might be hated for what we do or what we say. But that is our burden. And that is our cross. And it is ours to carry. And we have the strength to carry it. You know, going back to that, to Lehi's vision, you know, they were being ridiculed. They were being persecuted. These people, and all they were doing was pointing fingers and mocking. We have not in our country do we experience the violence that other countries do. But sometimes that's even harder. Sometimes violence steals people, gives them strength. Because it's physical, they can understand that. But to be made fun of can be very powerful. But that is our cross. And we must be willing to be made fun of. Willing to be the made jokes of. And not return in like manner. The last part that Christ told his followers when they were getting ready to go into Jerusalem was to follow him. They were to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And so I want to turn over to the 3rd Nephi, the 12th chapter. How do we do that? This is on page 674. In order to follow him, starting with the 34th verse. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And you know the things that you must do in my church, for the work which you have seen me do, that shall you also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall you do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye. For you shall be lifted up at the last day. That's what we have the scriptures for. They have shown us the way and the path. And he's saying, follow me. Follow that path. I also want to turn back into 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. Page 161, part of that path that we're talking about, starting with verse 6. Wherefore I would that you should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord shewed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more have we? Need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water. And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he sheweth unto the children of men, that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witness unto the Father that he should be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. Talking about follow him. This is the path that he went. For us, that's the gate. When we are entering those waters of baptism, because we're making a covenant. And I think that's what's separates the Church of Christ from these other individuals is that when I'm a Christian, that means I've made a covenant. I've made a promise. I'm going to do those things. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Him. And part of that is I'm going to make a covenant with Him. But that baptism is just the beginning, and I want to continue over on the next page in the 27th verse. It says, "Now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." That's what following Him is. We've entered into that path through the waters of baptism, and now we're moving forward and feasting upon the words of Christ. Not just nibbling here and there, but feasting on them. You know, going back to Lehi's vision, the rod of iron was the word of God. And that's what got people through those mists. That's what got people to the tree of life, was hanging on to that rod of iron. That's what this is saying here, is feasting on the words of Christ. Relying upon them to have wisdom, not our own ideas about what we should do, but relying upon God's word. Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Now behold, this is the doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God, without end. Amen. Still thinking about this concept of following Him, I want to turn over into Philippians in the second chapter. Starting with the 5th verse, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." But let this be our attitude. Let this be the frame of our mind. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He humbled himself. He says, follow Him, and this is what He did. He humbled Himself, and that's what we have to do. "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death." Obedient. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about following Him. It's being, you know, we can know all the commandments in the world. We can know the scriptures back and forth. But if we don't obey them, they're not useful to us. But He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to turn also as well over into Hebrews in the 12th chapter. "Wherefore," starting with the first verse, "wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We're moving forward. We're enduring. We're running with patience. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, that brings me right back to the tower of people pointing fingers and mocking. He despised the shame. He didn't care about it. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured since contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Yet ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's what he did, striving against sin. And how hard have we worked, striving against sin? You know, it can be hard. But we also have the promise that it's possible and doable. I want to turn over to Mosiah in the third chapter. I'm going to start on page 223 in the first verse. It says, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent them among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had in these things which our King hath spoken unto us, and hath brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, to do His will, and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. Therefore he said unto them, Ye have spoken the words which I have desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters. For behold, this day hath He hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on His name. Therefore ye are born of Him, and have become His sons and His daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. And there is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. It shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ." A Christian. That's what being a Christian is. It's when we've entered into that covenant to obey His commandments and endure to the end. Those are the things we do when we become a Christian. And He's laid it out right for us there in Matthew, how we're... I want to say it's simple, because it truly is. It's not complicated, but it's not easy either. It's easy to understand, but sometimes hard to do. But He commands us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow Him. I thank you for your time.